Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal that addition to rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with it.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow the call. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content and you did. Do everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
We're
not comfortable
with you, we brought our peace, we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, representing for the legends. Rapping mumble rappers, double means, sitting on the head. Tupac and P, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a Murder Master Music Show. Free the homie gangs, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it live forever, bitch, we coming
hella
strong. I see you feeding for the show.
It's your boy Prez. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 646. The homie DJ Lord Sinister France, he hooked up this show tonight, you know what I'm saying, just like the Little Jewel show last week. You know what I'm saying? This is with legendary Memphis producer and artist Blackout. Man, we're going to let him tell his story, you know, play some classic tracks. And just chop it up, man. Let's bring Blackout on right now. Blackout, how you doing, brother?
Yo, yeah, I'm good, bro. Shit, how about yourself, my man?
Man, real good, man, real good. You've been doing this for a long time, man. You're a veteran in the game. Memphis is one of those places where there's so much talent, you know what I'm saying? You were coming up right in the midst of all of it. What are your roots in the history of Memphis rap?
My roots in the history of Memphis rap? Let me see. My roots. Well, I'm pretty much rooted in the Memphis sound. So, yeah, man, I go back, you know, I'd say I'm probably like 93, 94. You know, started in high school, you know what I mean? You know, coming out the hood, man, really just kind of creating my own sound, man, really just, you know, doing me. And, you know, the rest is just history, man. You know, I did a lot of production for a lot of, you know, the artists that a lot of people familiar with, you know, back in the days, you know, some, you know, even they ain't familiar with. But, yeah, man, I touched on everything, you know, I done worked with some everybody. I've been working with a lot of artists out of the city since, like I said, you know, 93, 94, 95, 96, so I'm pretty rooted.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's like the golden era of Memphis rap right there, because you had so many people, you know, Indo G, Little Blunt, of course, you know, Triple Six, Player Fly, all these guys, Squeaky. You know, who are some of the cats that you made tracks with over the years?
Man, let me see. Well, like you said, you named some good names there, but, you know, like I was going to say, you want to talk about roots, I can go back even farther, man. Like, me, honestly, like, my first inspiration, man, honestly, out of the city, I go back to, like, DJ Spanish Fly, you know what I mean? Like, Gangsta Pat, you know, the Legion of Doom, and, you know, Pretty Tony, you know what I mean? That type shit. So when I first started, that's kind of like what I used to do. You know, I used to listen to a lot of that, DJ Spanish Fly, and, you know, like I said, Gangsta Pat, you know, if y'all go back, y'all pretty much, you know them names, but, as far as, like, people I've worked with, you know, that people may be familiar with from the underground scene, of course, Player Fly, Gangsta Black. You know, I've worked with, let's see, man. This is so DJ Sound. Let's see, if y'all remember DJ Sound, he go back. Of course, I work with Squeaky, but, you know, that was kind of a little on up when I kind of got up, you know, up there, you know, as far as my career, you know, when I finally got a chance to work with those guys. But, you know, early on when I first started, you know, a lot of us was up and coming. You know, and like I said, as far as the names that I'm grounded with, a lot of people, you know, connect me with, like I said, you named them, like Player Fly, and, you know, my group, you know, Player Posse, you know, Lil E, Slim, Waco, you know, Big O, my brother Terror, you know, y'all know them names. So, yeah.
A lot of legendary stuff they put out there. Did you ever think, you know what I'm saying, when you was making those tapes, those underground tapes, that they would be collector's items all these years later? I mean, people pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah, man. You know what, bro? I was like, I remember when I first, you know, because I, you know, I do a lot of other stuff too. You know, of course, I do the beats, the music. That's my, you know, that's my passion. You know, I love, everybody know me and I love the music. But, like, you know, man, I remember, you know, when the internet era and everything started coming in, you know, and everything was transitioning, you know, as far as, you know, the original format over to, you know, the new way people was going to get music and receive music and stuff like that, you know, internet and yada, yada. Somebody called me one day and was like, bro, I see one of your tapes online, man. They, like, selling that junk for, like, $100. Ooh, I'm like, for real? And it was, like, some of my old shit. And I was like, oh, shit. So, yeah, man, I had to do my due diligence and make some things happen to make sure I got that music to my fan base, man, these my peoples, because, yeah, like you said, man, I really didn't know a lot of this stuff that I was doing was going to, you know, stay in the test of time. I knew it was good stuff when I was doing it, you know, and I was just really doing it for the hood and, you know, just for the spirit of the time, you know. I really didn't start, honestly, taking it too seriously until, you know, around, I'd say probably about, I guess when I did Out of the Influence, Take One, you know. Yeah, because I was able to travel and see some things, you know, and it kind of really was like, oh, okay, yeah, some real money in this music. So, but other than that, I was just like, you know, everybody, you know, else coming out of the Memphis, you know, coming out the streets, you know, out the hood, trying to, you know, find my way. And, you know, and, you know, music, I always liked music because I was in the band and, you know, stuff like that. But, man, no, I didn't know, man. I just knew it was good. That's all I knew. I didn't know it was going to be like, what, 20, 25 years later, people still, like, you know. So, yeah, man, it's a good thing.
They love it overseas, too.
Yeah, they do, man. I really, man, to be honest with you, a lot of my, man, I got my fan base overseas, bro. It's like, it's almost unbelievable because I'm like, first of all, how did y'all get this stuff over here? But, you know. You know, to know about it like that. But, you know, as years went by, it was like a lot of people that I know that, like, from, you know, in the service. And, you know, like, I got a lot of, you know, partners of mine. You know, they, some of them musicians, you know, they take the stuff across seas. And, you know, the military, I got some people I know in the military, they take it across seas. And, and, you know, once the internet came, you know, came into play, man, you know, it kind of really pretty much, you know, made the world a little more, you know, small, so, you know, people had more, you know, access to these things. So I guess that, you know, nowadays people searching online, you know, Memphis is pretty much like always the center of music, you know, anything that's really bubbling, you know. We pretty much, you know, a lot of people don't realize that we control the tone, really, for the music industry, low-key from the city. So, you know, man, a lot of people checking for Memphis, man, they run across this stuff, and they be like, I guess they be like, oh, that's the dude who did this for this and that, and that's the dude, you know, because I did a lot of stuff for a lot of people, you know, a lot of artists I work with, and I've produced on a whole lot of projects, you know what I mean? Some stuff I did, people don't even know that I did, you know, so, yeah, man, but Cross Seas, man, it's a fan base, man. I appreciate my Cross Seas fan base, man. I really appreciate y'all, man, because y'all, yeah, if it wasn't for my Cross Seas fan base, I'd really probably be like, you know, eh. You know, but, you know, yeah, man. You know, as far as the you know, a lot of my older material and things of that nature, because, you know, I got, like, this shit in storage and half this shit, you know. I got, like, four-track tapes. I still got a lot of my four-track tapes, though. A lot of the old original stuff, you know, that I did, and a lot of it I'm, you know, getting redigitized, and a lot of the, you know, the material that I can't locate, you know, and redigitizing it and, you know, and kind of putting it back out there. I ain't trying to over-digitize it and over... I want to kind of keep it original, close to the original, you know what I mean, thing, because I know that's what the people really be digging on. You know, I want to make it all pristine and pretty, but, you know, I want to make it still, you know, professional and then, you know, still likable to my fan base, you know. So, yeah, man, shouts out across the East, man. Shouts out to the Suicide Boys, too, man. They gave me a shout out. I think, I don't know, I think I ain't from calling the Suicide Boys across the East.
I think so.
Yeah, man, because they contacted me, man. And I was like, wow, you know, because they wanted to use, like, a you know, I guess a little something from one of my, you know, one of my old underground tapes. And they was like, yeah, bro. And I was like, wow, that was, I thought that was pretty cool, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that the cats overseas love the classic stuff more, you know what I'm saying, than
yeah,
a lot of
do.
People in the States do. You know, yeah, you see that too,
yeah.
Don't you?
They do. It's funny because I used to tell my cousin this all the time, Juice and Snubnose. I used to be like, man, we putting out all this new stuff, we doing all this new music, but it's like every time I would go somewhere and people would always be like, hey, man, you still got some copies of like that old Dream World or that. And I'd be like, yeah, I do, but, like, this the new sudden, sudden, sudden. And they'd be like, yeah, that's cool, but what the old stuff? And I'd be like, oh, okay. So, you know, so a lot of people, man, they really, you know, respond well to their classic, you know. I guess, you know, it's their raw energy, that organic raw energy, you know, they're feeling. Because I, you know, I understand because I'm a, you know, I'm still a fan of music, too. So a lot of, you know, my older groups that I, you know, kind of listened to growing up, I like to keep the integrity of, you know, what it sounded like, you know, I just kind of like the old stuff, you know. It kind of resonated with me in a certain way, you know. So I, you know,
yeah.
I understand.
It's definitely, you know, with me, I like the old stuff better because you guys use lyrics. You know what I mean? You had
okay.
Substance. You had, you know. It's just the new stuff nowadays. I don't know, man. It's over my head. I can't fuck with it. You know, I'm not hating on these guys, man. They can do what they want. It's just I prefer that era, you know.
Right, and of course, you know, I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, like I tell a lot of people, you know, you know, everybody got a place where you got to meet them at, you know what I'm saying? A lot of these cats, you know, they just totally oblivious to, you know, a lot of the elements that contribute to the true nature of what we actually doing here. And, you know, they don't really appreciate it, you know, until they run across a situation where they have to and they have to adhere to, okay, oh, I see this is what this really is about. Because, you know, like I said, once again, you know, by everybody having access to the equipment now and, you know, everybody got, you know, everybody online. So, you know, people can pretty much find they own little audience and, you know, would resonate for them. And it just so happens to that a lot of people is on a lot of the, you know, the simple stuff, the stuff that ain't really got a lot going on in the music like we had, you know, going on. You know, they don't really take it as seriously as we did, you know, because we was taking it like, you know, we was taking it seriously. You know, I mean, I was doing it, you know, I was, you know, in and out on it, but I was doing it because I really loved to do it. But, you know, when I did do it, I took what I did seriously, you feel me? It wasn't like, oh, I'm just doing some, you know, type of attitude. You know, I was just doing something. But then, like I said, I was doing it, you know, like, okay, yeah, when I sit down and write this rap, you know, I want to think of something like cold. When I sit down and make this beat, I want this shit to be, like, stupid hard. You feel me? So,
yeah.
Nowadays,
absolutely.
It's like everything is a template. It's like you just go in and you can just sound like your favorite artist. You got the template in Pro Tools. You can just pull it up and beat everything, you know. So, you know what I mean? It's just a different time, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot more simpler now. I mean, you know, studio time back in the day, cost an arm and a leg. Now you just get a program online and anybody can fuck with it, you know, and
oh,
become
yeah.
a rap
exactly.
SoundCloud page, you know, there you go. You know, back in the day,
the
you had to really
part about it,
work and perfect your craft, you know.
Right. And, you know, and the thing about it is, I guess I can adapt to it because, honestly, like when I first started, and this is the funny part about it, and I also stress this as well to people, you know, I'd be in all these fancy studios, you know, the outboard gear, you know, the rooms, you know, the beautiful studios, and I'd just be sitting there thinking to myself sometimes, honestly, really, it ain't about this neither because, man, half that shit that people be checking for, like I just pressed up, we just did like vinyl on Dreamworld and, you know, redid the cassettes, you know, and I got some of the, you know, of course, the CDs online and all that, but, man, I be listening to that stuff sometimes. I be tripping because I be like, they don't even know, dude. It's like totally a sock over a Radio Shack microphone and a four-track, and, you know, I had very minimal knowledge of mixing and mastering, and all I know was it sounded good, and that was it.
Yeah.
I went all technical. I didn't know whether the EQ, the highs, and the hertz, and none of that shit, bro. We were just dropping that shit, and it just sound. I picked up a lot of little stuff on the way, you know, from engineers, yada, yada, but honestly, man, a four-track, a microphone, my drum machine, my keyboard, and a room full of, you know, cash man turned up, ready to rock and roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just, you know, just raw, you know, real talent. Musical background,
extra
like
raw.
You said, you know. and, you know, that's where the best music comes from, you know.
Wu-Tang style type shit in Memphis. That's what I used to look at us like. I was like, we like the down south, like Memphis Wu-Tang. You know what I mean? Everybody spitting, you feel me, on some Grammy shit, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, let's give them a taste of that right now. You know what I'm saying? We got this, you know what I'm saying, Player for Life track. Why don't you tell us about this this one right here?
Which one? You got that little E-Jot?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's
yeah, Player for Life.
That was actually the name. Yeah, that's the name of the yeah, man, me and my dog E-Man, straight out of Red Oak, Binghamton, you know, to real as they come, you know, no falsified material, you know, everything is 100 done, if you know what I mean. But yeah, man, on that Player for Life, that's just where we were going with it at the time. That was the vibe, you know, of the era. You know, I think that was like around, what, 96, 97, you feel me? And, you know, yeah, we were just vibing on that. That's kind of around the time we think that's about when we had met Player Fly, too, when we kind of had started working with him. And, you know, he used to come around. He was still with 3-6 at the time and all that. But yeah, man, little E, man, E-Ski, you know, we went in, man. We did our thing. We went in on that Player for Life. That's like I said. That's the title of the actual, you know, the little project or whatnot. And yeah, man, he go hard on that joint, man. So it is what it is. Let's get it.
Hell yeah! We'll be right back with Blackout. Don't go nowhere.
Nigga. bitch for life, you see. Rolling on these hard-ass streets. Was up with these niggas with no pimpin', flexin' constantly. Squash them all, standing tall. Every day, thanks for real, y'all. Lemons gotta come on down. Lotion smoking with a frown. When I'm on it, fucking dope. Fuck a hoe and really dope. Bitches with the shit, and if you didn't, now I know you know. Me and Lookie hitting the town cap. Pain until we drop. Tommy Hill, figure down. Hat flip to the top. Beating for that president. Flagging out my residence. All this smoke, that nigga hoe ain't new to this. I grew to this. Player on the scene. Look at me. Out that green shit. Dope and hoes and fat bang rope. Big boy shit, I'm striving for. Don't hate me, bitch, cause I'm real. Came up on my own and still living like a player trick. Step in, get your grill split. Every day, shit I'm seeing. Got a fix on my life. Drunk and high all night. Making cheese.
I got the wicked to the crack of dawn. Another day, I'm a myth on them streets. Full of Adelaide in that seat. My eyes awaken to the crack of dawn. Another day, I'm a myth on them streets. Walking with that player strut, in the herd that ice fighter. Is that when it is that too? I did that, so you know what's up. Hoping that I'm down to look from my nigga up above. Living like a villain, never stealing out the holy grail. Burning up my residence, making limits, taking it. Fuck a bitch, I have no love. In this game, I have no friends. Boss player till I slip. But I got my fucking grip on my hope, on my life, and my motherfucking self. Lately, I've been feeling smooth. Found my hustle, fuck you, bro. So yeah, it every get is cool. Play my life, I'm staying tight. Black and deep all night tonight. Sergeant holding, fuck them right. Staying my eyes are waking to the crack of dawn. Another day, I must meet on them streets. Full of Alize and that ink. My eyes are waking to the crack of dawn. Another day, I must meet on them streets.
Here with Blackout. That's some timeless music right there, man. Let's bring back on Blackout, the homie. Yeah, fam. I remember interviewing you with Snumdos for the Murder Dog. I'm sorry, for the Street Masters magazine back in the day in Memphis.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. It's been a minute, man. I'm glad to be able to reconnect.
It's been a while,
with you,
bro.
You know,
for sure, man. These years get by fast, man. You know,
absolutely. What's it like when you hear your old music like that, man?
Man, I was just sitting here thinking about that, bro. When you was playing that, that took me back, man. It just, shit, man. It just bring back a lot of memories, you know, for me, man. It put me back, you know, when we was dropping this stuff, man. You know, like I said, man, a lot of people don't understand, man, a lot of these songs, man, you know, a lot of people hear these songs, you know, and they be, you know, they don't know a lot of our music, man. They got, like, it got history behind it, you feel me? It's like some of these songs we were coming up with, like, some shit probably had just happened and, like, it inspired the song, you feel me? Like, right then and there, you feel me? So, yeah, man, it's cool to go back and out. And then there's also, man, when I hear that old shit, I'd be like, yeah, man, we was killing these folks like I thought we were, man. They weren't fucking with us, you feel me?
Absolutely, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah,
Well, you know, it's, you know what I'm saying, like I said, man, you coming up in that fucking era. I mean, Memphis was untouchable. There's always three spots I always say that make the best music. in that I've liked over the years. Memphis, Houston, and you know what I'm saying, the third spot,
right.
I would say the Bay Area. You know what I'm saying? Those
right.
three spots, it seems like you guys always come together, you know what I'm saying, and make dope music. A lot of cats work
correct.
With each other and stuff like that. Even though there's competition, it seems like there's also
mm-hmm.
camaraderie too.
See the these areas you name, you got to look at it, man. You know, and I agree. You know, like what you're saying, because a lot of the fan of you know music, you know from you know these areas, you know, because I was like a huge rap a lot, you know, and Ghetto Boys and Gangsta Nip and the Terrorist
yeah.
and Point Blank and yeah, man, and a lot of the stuff. The cast, of course, you know, I was like N.W.A. fanatic. You feel me? Like that was probably one of the only groups ever I was fanatic about.
N.W.A.
Ghetto Boys, of course,
yeah.
but yeah, man, N.W.A. bro, it was like, geez, Louise, it was like
Eazy-E just
man.
Had that voice. You never heard nothing
man.
Like him before.
It was easy, but I was like, it was always cute for me. You feel me? It's like.
Oh,
like
yeah,
Ice
yeah.
Cube, bro. It's like, dude, it's like that was my dude. But
yeah,
of course, like
sure.
I said, with Lil J, you know, Mr. Scarface, you know, I'll come up out of that because I really honestly didn't catch on like to the New York thing, you know, and until I got a little older, you know, it had to kind of work in on me a bit because I really didn't care for a lot of that stuff that was only that I kind of like out of New York was like Eric B and Rakim, you know, something like that, you know, maybe, but. You know, I just couldn't too much get into that thing, none. But I know, like you said, them areas you name, bro, it's like heavily music driven. You feel me? So, and then it's a lot of, you know, I don't want to say a lot of poverty, but we just kind of we see a lot of difference. You know, in the South, you know, I know out in Cali they got a lot going on. I know down South, you feel me? It's a little more, you know what I'm saying? A little grimier, you know. So. You know, as far as the stuff we have to deal with, you know, every day, you know, the poverty, the kind of, you know, low, you know, it ain't really like people ain't really just that inspired, you know, the inspiration ain't really like, you know, it's why they don't call it the home of the blues for nothing. You feel me? So, you know, we just vibe a little different. You feel me? So. When it comes to the music, that's so deep to our, you know, inner thing to where if it ain't just really got the sauce on it, you know, we ain't just really feeling it like this. You feel me?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to bring on the homie DJ Lord Sinister, the guy that set this show up for us tonight. Because I could sit here and talk to you for hours. I know he's got some questions he wants to get in. Let me bring him on. Sin, you there, brother?
All right. Yeah, hi Scott, hi Legendary Blackout. It's a real honor
hey,
to have you on the show.
How you doing, man?
yeah, I'm fine. I studied on your music since a very long time, since 95 in these days.
Thanks, man, I appreciate it.
Yeah, on the tape, Dream World, you used to record it with a Korg X3, like on the cover, to put us with it.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's why
I had my
cousin draw that for me, but I wanted to make sure he put that on there. I wanted to look, you know, like a dream, you know, real dreamy with the blue, and he did it just like I saw it in my head. But you know, I just had that vision in my head. You know, we used to get like stupid high back in the days and shit. And I was just laying there one day. I was like, man, I just saw that in my, you know, I kind of saw that vision. And, you know, that's what the music, that's what it was, everything was sounding like to me. Everything sounded like how that cover looked, you feel me? So he did a good job bringing my imagination, you know, to the platform like that so everybody can see it, you know, bringing it to life and everything. But, yeah, the Korg X3, man, that's my weapon. That was my weapon of choice, you know, back in the day. Because when I came through with that, people already know it's finna get crazy.
Like a lot of old Memphis tapes, You used cartoons on the cover album. I think about old Paul tapes or old Juicy J tape or even DJ Pinky or DJ Sound. All used to do these graphics back in the day.
Right.
Yeah, we were
kind of ahead of our time. A lot of people used to tell me that, like, they'd be like, man, y'all kind of ahead of y'all time as far as y'all vision. And, you know, because some of the stuff, a lot of people didn't understand, you know, when they saw, you know, some people thought it was dope and it went over some people's heads, but, you know, they eventually caught on to it, you know.
Yeah. And you use the intro with Church of the Hood movie. It's a crazy kid. I'm on better.
Yeah, man. You know what's crazy? What's crazy about that is that probably was like one of the first, I think, bootleg movies that I had. And that particular version of Tales from the Hood is from the version that wasn't the version that everybody sees that came out in the movies. It was like another kind of version of it. And but that part was, you know, of course it was on there, but it just played out a different way. But, man, I was watching it, and I was almost finished working on Dreamworld, thinking. And I wasn't almost finished working on it. I just had started working on it, and that kind of helped drive the set the tone, if you will, for that tape, because that scene, some in that movie, kind of summed up a lot that I had going on, you know, inwardly as far as the way I was seeing my art. You know, I was like, wow, somebody, you know, that's actually shot a major motion picture film, you know, on something that I feel like I could do the soundtrack to this movie. You feel what I'm saying? So, that was my own way of kind of, you know, I felt like I was part of that. You feel me? So, you know. It was weird how it came out. But, yeah, I always tied that part of the movie, you know, with that, because, you know, that's when it came out around that time, and I just thought it was dope, you know.
Yeah, yeah. How it was to recall the legendary track, Nobody Is Nobody with Play or Fly, and also recorded with the father of Play or Fly as a singer. He was a singer of the Ovations, so it was crazy to have him on the song. And it was it has a Memphis airplay a lot in clubs, and it could get back in the club, even on the radio. Can you tell us about this one and the process of recording of this track?
Yeah, man. Like I said, man, I done produced for a lot of people. That was when I was doing stuff for Fly, you know. That was kind of like another kind of sound I was doing with him, you know. Same keyboard, same stuff, but, you know, we came over there, Nobody Needs Nobody, man. I started, you know, I knew Fly before I actually, you know, started doing like all his music. Because he was still with 3-6 Mafia, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of had this little sound I wanted to do, but, you know, the stuff that me and my guys was doing, you know, we was kind of grinding with it. So, you know, we really, the tracks I was doing for Fly, you know, I would have little stuff like that. You know, little musical, you know, little stuff, but I wouldn't really never just incorporate that into what we was doing, you know, to a certain extent. But when Fly came along, you know, because he was Lil Fly at first, and, you know, because when he was with Paul, he was like Lil Fly. Mm-hmm. And then when I created the Player Fly sound. So, yeah, that's when he, you know, so that was like a transition that was kind of meant to happen as well, because he had broke away from them, and I was kind of trying to find a little outlet for this sound I had, you know, going, and it was just perfect timing, man, you know, because we actually had dropped a song while he was still with 3-6 Mafia, but we never did release it because, you know, for obvious reasons, but yeah, that was like the first thing I did for him, and I was just trying some stuff out to see what it'll sound like. And man, it was dope. It was like, damn. It was like everybody was like, bro, y'all need to do something together. You feel me? And you know, and then you know, like I said, I had left Memphis and did some traveling, you know, and I was out in Texas and all of that. And when I got back to Memphis, I had heard he had broke up, you know, well, broke it off with 3-6, left them or whatever. And, you know, we just end up linking back up, and shoot, the rest was history. You know, nobody needs nobody. Came about, and, you know, like bro was just saying earlier, you know, we didn't know that that was going to still be like, that's like the, pretty much the Memphis anthem, you know, where I'm from. And all the surrounding areas, you know, from Atlanta to St. Louis or wherever, you know, they throw that song on and people know it, man. They just turn up to it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of 3-6, what was your relationship back today with Paul and G.C.J.? Did you talk to him or not?
I really see the thing about them guys is those guys, you know, they older than me, you know. Contrary to popular belief, see, I just turned 42, you know, like last month or whatever. And I know, like, I got all this gray on my beard, so a lot of people be like, you know, how, you know, I look young, but then I look old. They don't know, but like Paul and them used to come and DJ. At our, you know, the school I went to, they used to come and, you know, do like our school dances and stuff like that. And they used to always play their tapes and this and that and the third. And I would be like, wow. And I go over there and speak to them and be like, man, I want to, you know, I'm trying to do what y'all doing one day type thing, you know. And, you know, they were some cool guys, though. And some years later on, man, they would see me in the passings, like, when I started doing my tapes and stuff and getting out there and making the name for myself, they'd be like, oh, okay, I remember that dude. I remember that dude. And that's the dude from the school or whatever. And I used to sell. Then I started selling out tapes in the same stores they were selling out tapes in. And then that's when DJ Paul saw me one day. He was like, hey, bro, yeah, you doing your thing, man. I remember you. You know what I mean? And then, like, Lil Noid,
He was a 2-4-6 artist and you produced his album, probably not funk. Yes. Yeah.
Right. See, I did his first. Yeah. See, a lot of people thought DJ Paul and him did that. But see, I did Lil Noid's first tape because we from the same neighborhood, from Binghamton. You feel me? So we went to the same school. See, me and Lil Noid went to school, you know, in junior high and all that. And, And this was, but he wasn't rapping and doing the stuff then, you feel me? Because when I had heard about Lil Noid because he had did a song with Player Fly with 3-6.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
I had heard about him, but when I met him, I was like, you Lil Noid, you feel me? So it was kind of weird how that happened. And, I was like, damn, you know, so he was with DJ Paul and him at the time, but I guess they was taking too long to do his, you know, his album or whatever. So, you know, he saw I was an up-and-coming guy in the hood. I was doing my thing, you know, and I did his first main tape, man. You know, I did every beat on that tape with Tears Are Dry.
Yeah,
because him and Tiny Main on it and all that, and Tiny Main, he used to be like with I think he was like rocking with Squeaky and them, you know, and all that at the time. So this is kind of how I would kind of establish myself because, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they was linked up with Paul and Juicy and Squeaky and all that, and I was just a new guy just popping up on the scene, just coming out of nowhere, you know, doing my thing, you feel me? Because I really was, you know, like I said, I was doing other stuff, you know, if you know what I mean, you feel me? I wasn't even really, I was doing the music, but I, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really, I was just doing it because I liked to do it, you feel me? And, I did. So Lil Noid really, you know, a lot of people don't know about that history because it's kind of like a, you know, that's like, that's a, you know, that's a deep history right there. But, you know, because he pretty much, you know, he was the first one out of our hood to really just, you know, bring that Binghamton, you know, like to the forefront like that, you know, for our generation, you know, because there was some cats, you know, from Binghamton, you know, there was artists, but, you know, we was kind of putting it out there like in a whole nother way, you feel me? And Noah was kind of spearhead of that, and he ended up getting into some trouble, and he had to go and do some time. And, you know, we just kept that day. We just kept that being happening. We just kept that vibe going, you feel me? So,
You produced such a whole album, Power of Funk. It was a crazy song, like In the Dark, Try Me, Load My Clip. It's a crazy song.
Right, I did all them.
Yeah.
That's when I first started, too, bro. That was like, honestly, that tape right there is like when I first started making beats, bro. I had just really started making beats and learning how to use my keyboard and all of that stuff, man. So, that's some real deep history right there.
Yeah. When I heard all these songs, like Evan Lulslim album, Robert Miller Speciality, like Demons, it's an earlier devil shit, you know. For you, who started devil shit? Because some people say Black, some people say you, some people say Psycho as a charge partner, some people say Lil Grim, my homie Lil Grim, or DJ Sound. For you, who started it?
Who started exactly what now, my bro? You say that again. Who started? What type of I heard you. I want to make sure I want
to. I talking about the devil shit, like the son of Psycho.
Oh, you talking about
Psycho's
like
a charge partner.
Like that. See, this is the thing. See, a lot of people got to understand. See, my clique, we didn't, and then the devil shit, evil thing, we didn't, you know, we was kind of doing that, but yet not. Our thing was more so, it was just real rugged and just like real edgy. And it was so close to the edge that people would kind of twist us in with them, you know, because a lot of them cats, they was like really, really like on that, like you say, that devil shit. But, you know, we would look at it, you know, we was just like really in the streets with it, you feel me? So, like the stuff we were seeing firsthand, you know, was more so coming from a place to where, you know, we was kind of seeing it from another angle, you feel me? So a lot of our stuff was passive aggression and, you know, we was blowing steam off on the mic and, you know, everything we did was edgy. You know, I was always kind of into the skulls and cut-off jean jackets and fucking, you know, I used to wear, like, Metallica shirts and shit, like, way, way back in the day before people even, you know, before this stuff even became, like something popular. Like, I noticed years back, Generation AC/DC shirts and Slayer shirts, and, you know, they don't even know who these artists is, you feel me? But, you know, a lot of them don't, you know. Some of them maybe will. I was stopping to ask kids, do you know who that group is on your shirt? Like, they had, like, the Megadeth shirt on. They'd be like, nah, I don't know who this is. I just thought the shirt was cool. And I'd be like, yeah, I used to rock them same shirts and shit, but people thought I was crazy. They'd be like, what's wrong with this dude? But to answer your question, man, you know, the only thing I can say, I know that if I would say I started something, you know, if that would be a way to put it, is that I was in my own lane to a point to where I wanted to just kind of create a sound that went with we was kind of experiencing day to day, because, you know, we was the cats drawing graffiti on the walls and, you know, we was tagging shit and, you know, we were just like them guys, you feel me? We was just, you know, that's why people feel the music like they do, because, you know, we was really them guys, you feel me? We weren't like, you know, if they would have had cameras and Instagram and shit back then, we probably would have like been like the internet sensation or some shit, you feel me? But yeah, man, we was like really the guys, like, you know, running out the stores, you know, and doing, you know, was tagging graffiti and shit on the, you know, on the wall and shit, you know. So we just brought that to the music, and you know, and people, you know, it came off aggressive, you know, and, you know, we did the skulls, and, you know, you might hear us say devil shit, evil shit, blah, 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 but, you know, yeah. We wasn't really into the shock rap, you know, evil, you know, like that type of thing, like some of these other cats, you know, I mean, I ain't knocking, you know, no other groups or artists and nothing. I'm just, you know, we were just kind of in our own lane, you know, but we get categorized, you know, with those groups because, you know, it's familiar, you know, I get it, you know, it's like, but yeah, we was coming at it from a whole nother thing, you feel?
Yeah, but anyway, you have your trademark blackout sound. So your inspiration back the day in Memphis, you have SMK, of course, Spanish Fly, or Petty Tony, G-Style, all them.
Right.
Inspired you for your work, you know.
Yeah, DJ Paul, man. I ain't gonna lie, man. We used to rock that Paul, man. Because, like I said, I didn't start, you know, them guys, they was doing it before I was doing it. So, you know, but, like, you know, I used to be into, like, I don't know if y'all familiar with an artist out of Texas called Gangsta Nip.
Yeah, for sure.
He was the South Park Coalition, you know, Bushwick Gear, Ghetto Boys especially, you know. So that kind of stuff like that, and, you know, and I was into a lot of heavy metal as well. You know, I grew up, you know, I was, like I said, a groups like, you know, Metallica and Slayer, and we was rocking shit like that, man. We was on some, you know, we were just, you know, some other shit, you know.
You put us also Gucci, Ashes of My Blood, was a crazy tape too, and also of course like Lil Gain, Big Time Players, which was about Mitchell Heights.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's my guy. See my guy Slim.
Lil Slim, of course. Yeah,
my guy Lil Slim. You feel me? You know, we used to rock in high school together and all that. And, like, he was from the other side, you know, not too far from Binghamton, but, you know, across the way, you know, they had Mitchell Heights over there. So he kind of, you know,
like
tried to represent
like that. Like Two Black also, off of Dub Smoke.
Right, all them guys. Lil Gang, Two Black, and all them type guys, you know, they from over there on the other side. But see, I knew
Two Black
guys.
Was on your
see,
song,
I went to a few. See, you know, that's one of the schools I went to on their side, you know, which went too far from our hood. But when I linked up with them guys, you know, that was a whole nother swag right there, cause you know, me and Lil Slim, you know, we put that Mitchell Heights, you know, on the map. Well, he put it on the map, you know, because that was his hood. And, you know, that kind of spearhead a lot of the other cats from that area, you know, like you were saying, Two Black and,
You
know,
it was on your song,
Lil Game. Lil Game first tape. He was one of my little guys, you know. They was about it over there, though. Like I said, the reason why I rocked with them guys, because they were some old guys, you know, they was like, kind of like, you know, how we was, you know, they was really out here with it, you know, in the streets and doing their thing, and, you know, they was known, they name rung bells in the streets, you know, in the hood, so, you know, I was rocking with them, you see them?
Yeah, and you produced also very talented MC, it was Terror, and the first album, of course, It's Whatever in 95, you got to get it gone or let it creep in. Yeah, it was crazy song. And also, Who Wanna Test on the Out of Frame album in 2001. It was crazy. Can you tell us about Terror and his artist?
Man, that's my brother, man. When he came in, man, you know, he came in strong when he came in because, you know, I wouldn't never really let him come in with us, you know, and do what we was doing. I ain't want him around all that, you feel me? But, you know, he stayed down, man, so he came up, man. And, my brother, he went hard at him. And, you know, his first joint was on his first tape was the It's Whatever. I was like, man, bro, you ready, man, you know, and let's just go on and do you one. And he killed it, man, for his first tape, man, and he killed it so hard to where I was Gangsta Black, like, he hopped on it. He was like the only dude. You know, it had to be something because Gangsta Black, he was still with 3-6 Mafia at the time. And my brother was coming through so hard because he had his own little entourage. You know, he was his own man. You feel me? He wouldn't, you know, he was that guy out here. His name rung bells in the street for real, for real. And, you know, man, I did his first tape and he had, you know, he had like his little clique, the guys he had, man. He was so popular, you know, with his school. And so when we did his first joint, it went crazy out the gate. And everybody loved it. And we had to work him in right after we did the Under the Influence. The Tape 1 joint and all that. And I think after
Under the Influence 1 and 2.
Yeah. Tate Roberts, yeah, and then so we went on ahead and put him up next because he was ready, man, and Gangsta Black he rocked with him again, you feel me? And that's how the Yes came out. Am I at the frame? Because him and Black had real good chemistry because Black, he was, you know, he liked my little brother. He thought he was, you know, he was like, man, I'm rocking with your little brother, man. He the real deal. So because Gangsta Black, you know, of course everybody know GB, you know, he most definitely that guy out there in South Memphis.
Yeah.
You know,
SPB Clicks. Saw a spot play with another fight.
Yeah, GB the truth, man. And so you know, him and Fly out there, man. Him and Fly was pretty much they was the top dudes, you know, out in the South. You know, if it wasn't about Fly and Black, you know, it wouldn't. You know, they was the guys.
SPB.
Yep.
South Spot play.
The guys, you know. On my end, we was the guys, and they end up coming out there and linking up with us. So you know, it had to be something because you know, like I said, you know, them some strong guys. You know, they got their own thing going, and you know, for us to link, you know, like that, you know, it had to be something going on there. So yeah, man. So that's how that came about, man. My brother, man, he came in at the gate, man, and young guy, man, I think my brother, he hopped on the mic. He was like, man, he was 15, some shit like that, 14. He was young, man. He was coming out hard, though, with them bars, though, at the gate. He wasn't playing no games.
Yeah. On Under the Influence, I love a song. It was the first song. It was crazy shit. Just a sample you did, Shadow of the Clown music, as a movie. The first song?
On which one?
Under the Influence 2. That first song. There's a title of that first song.
Yeah. Under the Influence 2? You talking about all these titles with no battles?
It was that first song.
Is it on Under the Influence 1 or Under the Influence 2?
I think it's Under 1, maybe.
It was a crazy song. Oh, one, you're talking about when Gangsta Black started off?
I think.
Now my brother started this song off. I can't remember, man. I can't remember.
That's one, yes. It sounds like Shadow of the Clown music.
Like that. Yeah, don't put me on a spot like that. But now, as far as the Open Your Back with this track, Get It Crunk Like Crack. There we go. I knew it was gonna come to me. So yeah, that's how Under the Influence 1 started. Cause my brother started that joint off, and he started. And even say, dude, yeah, he started the first one off too. I mean, he started the second one off too, though. Yeah. But which sample are you?
Yeah.
You said something about the sample.
Oh yes. It sounded like a Shadow of the Clown jam of Dr. Bounce, you know.
No, it wasn't no samples. Under the Influence 1, it started off the guy who was engineering the session. Yeah, he do like the movie thing, and then the beat come in, and I'm playing that because that's coming off the Cool GX 3 right there. And then on Under the Influence 2, that started off with all these titles with no battles. I'm thinking.
All these titles with no battles.
What skills are you, a rapper? I think that just comes straight in. And the little sample, that little chop, I got that off of, man, it was something, man, like some sound discs. I think I had got from like Slice T or the guy, he used to do the 36 Mafia and all that back in the days. But I ran, because that's when I first started using the MPC. So I just had like a lot of sounds cats was giving me. So, man, I couldn't tell you where that shit came from, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
I had just started and, first broke the MPC out on that joint right there.
We go with a track Back Up. You did Back in the Day, 2003.
Yeah, that track.
And
we
went back.
That was
we can go on the song.
Okay, yeah, would y'all finna play that joint right now?
Yeah, we would play what. Now, can you tell us about this one, about this song?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, the Make 'Em Pay was my, that was like kind of round. I dropped that one like when I was kind of getting ready. I don't say I was getting ready to stop, you know, but I was kind of like, you know, I'm finna do me another tape, little, you know, CD and, you know, kind of lay off this for a minute because, you know, it was a lot going on as far as, you know, my actual real life around that time. I just had a lot going on. And, you know, man, that Make 'Em Pay was like kind of me just, you know, kind of dropping something, you know, real dope, you know. Like a lot of, you know, my vibes on that one was just kind of like, you know, I just felt like making them pay, man. You know, it's self-explanatory. And the Black Out Here So Bag It Up, John, you know, I had kind of, before that, I had really kind of stopped rapping a little bit, you feel me? And, you know, I just broke that out, man. And, you know, that was just kind of like, you know, me just, you know, just going at them hard, speaking my mind, you know. So, and then I actually, when I sat back and listened to it, I was like, I actually got some bars on this thing, you feel me? But I was just, you know, a lot of that stuff there, I was just, you know, coming off the hip. I put it together kind of quick. You know, just to be doing it and, you know, the project, it came out pretty dope. But it was just something real I just wanted to put together because I just felt like I just wanted to put something together real quick. So I just wanted to make them pay, man. So, yeah, that's pretty much the story behind that one.
Okay, right. So we play the song.
What's up, Black Out, man? I ain't seen you in a while, man.
Shit, man. You know me, man. Behind the scenes, man. Keeping shit working, you hear me?
Yeah. You been laying low, man. You need to get back out here and get on these niggas' head, man.
Show back out, you know what I'm saying? I got this new shit coming out, though. You know I've been in the lab. They make them pay, you know what I'm saying? My back out here so make these suckers pay. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh. Guess who back? It's none other than the BLA squad with your herd, steal the show and keep it all in place. When the beat drop, that's when ideas start to flash. Then devastation goes down and I sit back and laugh. In the lab for show, been hanging close for a long time. Fall off, you crazy, even letting this thought go through your mind. All black, my trademark, kinda similar to dark. Hard to see me coming, yet you slip up and get ripped apart. All types of ways, ducks and suckers talking loud, pressure. This my house, you just a guest. Disrespect, I bust you. Must have got the wrong impression. Smack you with the Smith and Wesson. Back up. If you're smart, you'll break fast in any direction. Bad luck. Play your part. The game is down, but you gotta have nuts. Hatred in the herb is cool because I have what? The answer to this sickness. Brace yourself a bit. Feel me coming, stomping, crack the pavement. Fall on
back out here, go back up. Hurt them till they had enough. Give them something, have it up. Leave them suckers mad at us. Black out here, so back it up. Hurt them till they had enough. Give them something, have it up. Leave them suckers mad at us. Black out here, so back up. Hurt them till they had enough. Give them something, have it up. Leave them suckers mad at us. Black out here, so back it up. Hurt them till they had enough. Give them something, have it up. Leave them suckers mad at us.
I'm here now.
I know some hate to see me come and see my vibe is like, fuck them all, expose them cause they run, yeah, I get the picture. All the while I keep it working, shit comparing it then to now, the game to change, but I still surface, it ain't all about bling, it ain't all what you think, it's really issues, that's in far to stay on top so you don't think, feel my style, no glisten, glamour, just a hammer for the nail, like the reaper at your ass, this shit don't balance like a scale, might as well get paper, watch weather for the shower, watch money talk loud, watch niggas turn sour, dead ears out the hood, real soldiers, not like you dudes who break when the heat is on you like a vulture, y'all make me laugh, don't do your thizzle, dizzle, back up, full of drizzle with my nizzle, step, then get tagged up, make sure every word I say to reach your brain has stuck, blackout, so for real, a fucking cow, still them blackout, so back up, hurt them till they had enough, give them something, hazard up, leave them suckers mad at us, blackout, hurt so back it up, hurt them till they had enough, give them something, hazard up, leave them suckers mad at us. Since I was younger, I couldn't wait to bring the thunder. It rained down, no escaping, time to take them under. I sit and wonder, sometimes I heard it's hard, nigga. On the streets, trusting God, me and my trigger. Replace a smiling face with an empty space, know what I mean? A fool with it, haters see me in their worst dream. I had to roll with it, I didn't fold, I did it. Aiming the different bulls out, although they won't admit it. Hell with the bullshit, don't need a pulpit. To spit the truth from the roots I was brought up in. I gotta make them pay, it'll just make my day. If you forget everything else, remember blackout hurt so back up, hurt them till they had enough. Give them something, hazard up, leave them suckers mad at us. Blackout hurt so back it up, hurt them till they had enough. Give them something, hazard up, leave them suckers mad at us. Blackout hurt so back up, hurt them till they had enough. Give them something, hazard up, leave them suckers mad at us. Blackout hurt so back it up, hurt them till they had enough. Give them something, hazard up, leave them suckers mad at us.
Y'all already know the deal, nigga. Fuck this shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm in this motherfucking match, and ain't no stopping this shit. You know what I'm saying? To all you motherfuckers, whoever doubted this shit, you know what I'm saying? Can't stop against this real shit, nigga. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's going down. Y'all already know me. I don't say too much, nigga, but when I'm speak, I talk about, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about something. I got my niggas in this motherfucking nigga. Play a posse.
Yes, sir. We're back on the Murder Masturbatic Show with Blackout Legendary from Play Memphis, time. Tennessee.
Yeah. What it do? Yeah, man. That was, That, you know what, man? See, that's the type of stuff that, you know, a lot of people be like, man, you got to go and do another one, Black. You got to go and do another one. But I'm like, man, I'm going to do one, man. I'm one of them type of artists, man. I got to be inspired, you feel me? But the inspiration most definitely coming back. And the more I hear little stuff like that, see, like, then let me know, you feel me? Because, yeah, that was, I remember the space I was in at that point right there, but I was speaking on it a little bit. But, yeah, man, that was, it took me back a little bit right there, too, though.
Yeah, for sure. Can you tell us about the group Snub Nose and even the production you did with Snub Nose Music, the Pimp Forever 95 tape? So can you tell us about this one and the Maze Work Castle too?
The Maze Road. Okay, so my cousin Juice, Snub Nose. And Eli, like, they were artists that had been, you know, they had been, like, doing performances and things of that nature, you know, when I was up and coming. And I used to want to go to the studio with them. They never let me go with them. I was a young guy. They'd be like, ah, we're going to bring you. And I was like, ah, okay, yeah. But, so they was doing music, man, and they had been, like, doing a lot out there in Mississippi, you know, because that's where they pretty much based from. And I was like, who doing stuff in Mississippi? But they was, like, some of the first guys, like, on the Mississippi scene, because I was like, cats doing stuff in Mississippi? And they had a night, and what was surprising about it, man, I went down to one of their shows one time, man, and it was, like, lit. And I was like, what in the world? And these are my cousins, you know. And so, you know, we linked up, man, and we started doing little stuff here and there. And pretty soon it got to a point, man, I was just really, like, you know, producing, like, the majority of the music for them. And the group, you know, at the time is called Snub Nose, and as well as the label. It's called Snub Nose Music.
Yeah.
And so, man, you know, I just kind of course, it was quite natural, you know, to hop in on it with my cousin, because, you know, that's my family and all that. So I had my thing going back at the spot, you know, with the player posse and my thing. But I would kind of, like, team up with my cousins, you know, with the Snub Nose Music thing. And they had another little producer they was working with, you know, at the time. And then, like, they kind of ended up parting ways or whatever. And I just was, like, pretty much was, like, the full-time, you know, producer, you know, exclusive for my cousin and them. So they had some artists that they was working with as well. I know who this other producer was working with. And when I kind of came aboard, everybody kind of started kind of more so gravitating towards me. And, you know, when, you know, and coming through when I used, because I used to go down there, like, and just hang out and, like, spend, like, days down in Mississippi with my peoples, you know. And, you know, I take my equipment down there and my keyboards and shit, and, man, we'll just turn that shit into the, you know, and then, you know, we'll start trapping it out right there, you know. And that's how, like, the Maze Row Cartel and a lot of that came about, because,
yeah,
you know, I would be down there and I'd bring my four-track, you know, and sometime they'll, like, come up here, you know, and they'll rock out with me, you know, and come to the studios with me up here and all that. But, yeah, man, I used to go down there and hang out, man, because it was like a whole nother world. And that's how that whole Maze Road Cartel thing came about, as well as the Snub Nose Off Safety. That was the first project.
Yeah. You know, of course, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the CD, you know, we put together, you know, and
the Genesis, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, yeah, man, we had that. Yeah, Mortal Kombat, yeah, and we had that Ashes Off My Blunt.
Crazy song.
The Ashes Off My Blunt 1 and 2, we just really never, you know, put the 2 out there and completed that when we still got, you know, but,
Bones in the Wood, too. Bones in the Wood, a crazy hit.
Huh? What was that?
Bones in the Wood, first crazy hit of Snub Nose, too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, man. The boys, you know, yeah, that was, you know, because I remember when he first brought the idea to me, like Boys in the Woods, I was like, what? I was like, that's kind of cool, but I don't know though. It was like, it was weird, but it grew on me, man. I was like, yeah, that's actually dope. And man, when people, they, boy, when I tell you, they literally played. It was like that was back when Devin Steele, like a lot of our radio DJs was kind of first really coming on the scene. And that song, they used the word, that was like, you can, that was like the, that song had got popular for being on, it was a little underground show they used to play on Sundays here in Memphis. And every Sunday, they would literally, that song was a must play. If they didn't play that song on Sundays, people would like call into the radio. It was like crazy. Like that song, it was a weird, it was like a weird hit in Memphis on a really underground scene, but out in Mississippi they was eating it up, of course, because Boys in the Woods. But yeah, man, and my cousin, man, shout out to Juice, man. He's a real creative guy, a lot of ideas.
I was in Memphis in back in '95, summer '95, and did your music was played in a club No Name or Club Expo or Studio G in the 380 Bill Street, or even in Juicy G's place, or Plus Play House. Did your music be played on these clubs sometimes? Like the
right,
day?
Man, you going, oh man, you going back.
Yeah,
man.
I was there, like the day.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you know some history. You know some history. Well, you talking about the, he talking about the old 380 and Plus y'all, you know, those, yeah, they, yeah. Yeah, they tore that stuff down, man. They taking away all the history around here, the mall in Memphis and the
380, they running wrecking balls through that stuff. But you know.
Yeah.
That's why I be telling everybody, man. Yeah. When you in the moment, stay in the moment, man. Because you know, these times are priceless. You know.
Yeah, Club No Name, Club X4, it was crazy.
That man said Club No Name and Club X4.
It's a gangster world.
You talking about back when we used to rock the, see, that's back when we used to rock the Jerry, you know, like the Nouveaux and the Curls and all that.
Yeah.
You feel me?
For sure.
What they know about
when Scarface stops the Curls.
Yeah, when
back
I dropped
the day, that, he got the group Man of the Hour.
Yeah, man.
Back when Edward M. Jazzy called DOA in Richard Boyle on OTS Records, OTS
exactly.
Studio.
Exactly.
Did
man.
You go into OTS when Gangsta Pat was in back the day when there was Psycho Evans, Ball and Law back the day in OTS? Did you go at this time on the studio?
No, I didn't really, like I said, a lot of them guys, they was kind of ahead of me, you know, as far as what they was doing. I just was kind of, you know, just kind of hopping into the thing and, you know, like early on, because I really didn't, you know, I didn't really start, like, going hard until, like, around 94, 95, 96,
yeah.
You know, somewhere, you know, to where I was like, you know, because other than that, I was listening to a lot of those guys that you name and, like, trying to get in them clubs that you're talking about, Expo and No Name.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we couldn't get in those spots. We had to sneak in them, you know what I'm saying? I had a little cat used to sneak us in the back door at Denim and Diamonds back when that was hot back in the days, you know. We used to have to sneak in, you know.
Yeah, it was a shame they destroyed Studio G. They totally destroyed now.
Yes,
even
yeah,
it was
yeah,
a Muhammad Ali Theater before.
Yep, that's the history, man. You know, we got some rich history here, man, and it's reflective of you know, these artists we got coming out.
Yeah,
you know, even in the present, you know. Times a day, I look at a lot of these young cats. You know, they doing their thing. You know, and you know, it's the same thing we was doing. It's just that, you know, we didn't have the social media. You feel me? Back then, we didn't have none of that. Our only social media was if your name wasn't ringing bells, you know, in South Memphis and Frazier, and then you just wasn't them guys. You feel me? So it was like. You really had to be doing something. You feel me? Nowadays, you ain't really just got to be doing nothing. You feel me? You ain't really got to be really
this
guy. You can just really
it's
pretend
time
like
now.
The guy. Yeah, it's, you know, you can just be online, you know, and fronting and flogging like you that guy, but you really not that guy, you know. So, but back in my days, you really had to be that guy, you know. So that's what I'm saying.
Back in the day, if you weren't distributed by a Selectorid, Jerry Phillips, in Memphis, even on the tapes, you have the choice of tapes, about the trunk, or Selectorids.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We, of course, you laugh because you already know the answer to that question. But I most definitely prefer, you know, see, I'm going to tell you something about me, man, and my little run-in with Selecto hit.
Yeah.
I started off selling out of the trunk and underground. So I was used to seeing all my money from my tapes and CDs. You feel me? I was like,
yeah.
My first tapes I sold, man, I was like charging $5 and $6 and, you know, and shit like that, you know, just selling them, you know, out of the trunk. You know, I was paying like maybe like $1 and some shit. And see, we was doing, you know, like I said, that was pretty good for us. We went from unfamiliar to, you know, hand-to-hand combat because, you know, we was, you know, of course, we was very familiar with that arena anyway. So that was just something extra to have on deck to have. Hey, man, check this out. We, you know, and that's why we took to the streets so well because we was, like, really, you know, out here. You feel me? We was really out here and we just had them tapes with us. You know, and, man, when I first got my run-in with this whole industry thing and,
you know, had to wait on my money, and then this guy, talking about he ain't got my money, and I'm looking at it like I done sold like 10,000 copies this month, and you talking about you ain't got no money for me, and yeah, that was very unfamiliar territory to me. I went down with none of that at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I started dealing with, I went over a lot of people's heads. I usually deal straight with distributors, and you know, and like my money would be understood up front. You know, I didn't do all of the mystery pay on the back end, and you may make this, or you call me when you feel like calling me about my checks, and see, we ain't play them kind of games. Cause see, we would click up and like literally like be at your front door, like you feel me. So we ain't play them kind of games.
Yeah, Evan, by the day you have Black Franklin from the Swiss Lover Graphics, all Memphis made.
Yeah. You said what the graphics did what, bro?
Oh, I said it was Memphis made, like a Swiss Lover Graphics, like a Black Franklin, you know. They did all graphics also too. Yeah. Can you tell us about Player Posse, your tape Bigger and Bigger Tanks in '96?
Yeah. It's an artist out of the city goes by the name of Tommy Wright III.
Yeah.
And you know, he had like his little thing going on out there, like in like on the west side of Memphis, and you know, not West Memphis literally, but just the west side, you know, kind of way out. And somehow I ended up linking with him because at the time, you know, I had did some traveling, and I wasn't staying in Memphis at the time, and like I was like, it was something going on with my equipment, or I didn't, you know, I wouldn't set up to record and do all, you know, and at the time, because I was making a transition, moving back to Memphis and all that, and somebody had knew Tommy Wright, and we ended up going to do a song for Tommy Wright on this album that he was doing, and they paid me and my group Player Posse to do a feature, and they dropped it over Tommy Wright studio. And when we go over there,
right, Street Smart, his studio is Street Smart Records.
Way out somewhere, and man, it was just. I can say somewhere he was in the city, but you know, he stayed on the whole other side of the city. You feel me? Out there.
Okay.
But you know, they grind me out there too though. But you know, it's like kind of going towards Tunica and all of that. You feel me? Tunica, Mississippi. But yeah, man. So we ran into him and we went over there and dropped, and he had like a pretty little decent setup. And at the time, we was talking about, while we all together, we need to go ahead and drop like a little tape, because we never did get to do the Player Posse tape. Because, you know, like I said, you know, all my guys, you know, they all they have their individual lives. They all have stuff going on, and, you know, and they pretty much bosses in their own little lanes. You feel me? You know, like Lil Slim, you know, like Ian, you know. So, once we came together during that particular song we had to do, we was like, man, let's just drop the Player Posse and we'll just drop it over at Tommy Wright's spot. You feel me?
Yeah.
So all of the beats I did that's on Player Posse, Big and Better Things, the recordings, all this stuff, I just did like right on the spot. That's why it's really not that many songs on that joint. But all that stuff was like on the fly. Right, we didn't have no plan. We just would go to the studio, and I'd be like asking them like, "How you work this?" You know, I didn't even know how to really work that shit. To be honest with you, bro, I'm just gonna be flat out honest with you. And but you know, that's like you were saying, that's where that raw talent came in, man. I just made that shit work, and And we was like, what we going to call this shit? And I think Lil Slim was like, let's call it Big and Better Thing. And I was like, bet, we're rolling with that. And I went to my little art guy, because besides my cousin Juice, I had another little guy from Mitchell Heights, from the hood where, Lil Slim from. So I just, I spread the love over there, and I was like, bro, draw this player posse joint for us. And he had that joint ready for us, like, in a couple of days, and he hand drew it, like, hand to hand. And I went to, like, Kinko's and, man, and cut the tape, man. We was grinding this shit, man. We was, like, I was going to Kinko's and getting construction paper and making that shit look like a real tape cover. And we was ordering the cassettes and shit from the distributor, and like making the tapes up ourselves and shit, bro. That shit was grinding, but we was making this shit happen. And that was also the first tape that we did that actually had the print on it, that it was the clear tape with the little white stamp, had actual, the words, as opposed to the stickers, because some of the tapes used to have the stickers. Because I ended up doing a Dream World. Actually, I take that back. On the Dream World, was the first one we did like that. Then I did the Player Posse like that. Yeah.
Catch Your Mother Case was a classic.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the Player Posse, that's how the Player Posse came about. We did it. We dropped that joint like, man, shit, couple of weeks tops, bro. Couple of weeks tops. Yeah. We was in there every other day, coming up with the shit off the fly. We just, man, go in there, turn up, get high as fuck. I ain't gonna lie, we get high as fuck. And we just go in there and just bum rush them folks' studio, man. And we did our thing, man. That's how the Big and Better things came.
Yeah. What's your plan now for the future and also how?
You said the plans for
Legendary Blackout. What's your plan for the future in production now? For these days?
Oh, man, same as it always been, honestly, man. I don't put too much on it. I got a lot of ideas, I got some plans, but it's just pretty much the same, as it's been, since the onset of this thing. Just get better and better at what I do, and find new ways to reach my fan base, and connect and work with people who vibe like I vibe. I got a few artists I'm working with now. I always wanted to see people, take their craft, and in a way I can help, kind of enhance whatever they doing, because, besides my group, a lot of people don't know, but you have to be from the city to know, or really just be rooted. A lot of people got to understand, I do a whole lot as far as the music scene here, as far as, and working with a lot of people that, a lot of people really didn't even know I worked with, you feel me? And a lot of these people have went on to stardom and they making millions of dollars now, and it's a good thing, because they still show me love and blah, blah, blah. And, because a lot of these artists that's out now, I literally remember when they was, like, walking in the studio for the first time, So my plans, man, really is just to just continue, man, just getting better at what I do, man, and putting that music out and keep putting my vibe out there, and make them see it the way I see it. Hopefully they get it, you feel me?
Yeah, it would be dope. You come overseas in France, Germany, Europe, because you have a fan base over there.
Yeah, man. Me and my cousin was talking about that yesterday, man. He was like, we're going to have to go on and get them passports, man, so we can go on and, get on these two-day flights and all of that. Because he know I don't too much care for airplanes and all that. I remember I had to ride him at one point in time when my career really started, because, like I said, I really never cared for breaking the industry per se. I was always cool with being like the guy that they're going to have to find and seek out for on the
some real grimy underground type shit, but you know a lot of my my fans and supporters and whatnot, and, you know, they'd be like, man, you know, you got to do this with that, or you got to put together. So
yeah,
you know, I really appreciate it because a lot of this, my fans, you know, they really keep it, they really keep the fire going, because it's like, because like me, I do other shit, so I'll be doing that, and then like, you know, my direction or, you know, my attention to go elsewhere. And the fans will help keep me reminded, hey, you know, tap me on the shoulder, be like, bro, don't forget about us over here. We still rocking with you. So, it's just
for,
what it
for
is.
Your fans and for your fans and supporters, give them your social media. Can I tell them your Instagram?
I'm starting to get more social media with it because I'm in and out on that, but I got the fans can find me. I got like Instagram. I just started. It's UNDAGROUNDBLACK Underground Black.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course you got the Legendary Blackout. You know, that's like my personal Instagram. You know, but you can find
yes,
me on there. Really honestly, man, to be totally honest with you, bro, they can just Google Legendary Blackout, man, and I got like a website, and you know, I got a lot of little social media platforms that I'm rarely on, but you know, they can find me out there, man. You can just Google Blackout Memphis, or you can just Google Legendary Blackout, and I pretty much come up in the search engine, you know, as they say, you know. So, you know, I'm search engine optimized.
Right. It was an honor to have you on the Murder Master Music Show. And we end with the song Club Friendly of Player Fly. It was a crazy song, crazy production. Can you tell us about this one?
Yes, sir.
Club Friendly.
Well, I had been, of course, working with Fly, you know, from his first CD. I did, like, pretty much all Fly stuff, just to be honest with you. I probably did all of his music except maybe, like, 4 tracks on all the projects, you know, from back in the day. But, so that was one in particular to where I had this project I had to do on these people I was working with directly out in Nashville, and I had an idea for a song that I was like, bro, you should do a song like a club song, because like that was kind of getting hot at the time. And Tila, he's from Memphis too, if y'all familiar with Tila, because, you know, we all, you know, I know his producers and all that. And they had did the Girls in the Club, you know, type of thing. And I was like, we should do something kind of like that. You feel me? It'll be kind of cornball for me to try to do it, but it might work for, like, Play or Fly, you feel me? So I had the idea. I was like, we should do this joint, and I made the beat. And I called him over and, like, check this out. What you think about this? You should do, like, a strip club type of song. You feel me? He was like, I played the beat.
Yeah.
He was like, you know what? That's hard. I liked it. Let's do it. And that's how it came about, man. Yeah.
It was a dope song for playing Club No Name, Club Exposed.
Yeah. We was all like, because back then it was really a little slick, little nudge at the, especially the Memphis industry at the time, because, you know, all we would hear, because, you know, you familiar with my sound and how we was doing it, and we were always used to hear, man, it need to be more club friendly. It need to be more club friendly, you feel me? So we were just like, you know what, let's just call this shit club friendly.
So Red Sun's Blackout, and maybe coming soon. You can come when you want.
Yeah, man.
Murder Master Music Show.
Yeah, hopefully we're gonna be coming out there with y'all soon. But I'm finna go ahead and do another CD, man. I'm gonna do 2. I'm gonna do like my underground Grammy style joint one, then I'm gonna do more like a conducive to the spirit of the time of now type joint. So I'm gonna do that. You know, most definitely. That's going to be in the works for 2020 for sure. You know, I'm getting honored this year for the SEM Awards, you know, and all of that. And, you know, man, it's just a lot going on, man. You know, y'all can be looking for a lot of little up-and-coming stuff. You know, my brother, he about to get back in the lab. He called me, like last week and was like, man, I'm just finna go on and get back in. Because he been dropping, too, and bro still go hard. He go extra hard, you know, on them verses, man. I was like, he always surprised me, just like he, you know, been doing since he was a young guy, man. But, you know, of course, I'm going to produce his new joint, you know, because we're going to, you know, our fans, man, they've been asking us for it. So, and we're going to give y'all exactly what y'all want. No sugar added, no fillers, grinding. I might even fucking do the shit on the 4-track. I might just fucking order a 4-track and just go, you know what I mean? We're going to do it the grimy, dog. We're going to do it the real way. You feel me? Like how we used to do it or some shit. So, but no, most definitely that. So, yeah, I'll be looking out for that for sure. That's coming. And I got some other stuff I got in the works. I got an Underground Madness Volume 1. I'm finna get ready to, you know, release that digitally and all that. It's going to be like a streaming type thing. I'm calling it the 611 Leicester Street. Series. That's like my old house. If anybody know, that's the my old street back in the hood. You know, if everybody know, they remember that house, that house on the corner of Leicester right there. So, where we used to turn up at. So, yeah, man. So that's we don't give them what they want, man. What they've been looking for. So, you know, we most definitely gonna hit that. Yep.
Okay. Right. So we go with Player Fly, Grow Friendly, Club Friendly. And I'll see you soon, Blackout, on Mr. Mercer Music Show.
And that's what's up, man. I appreciate y'all, bro.
What's up?
Yeah. All right.
On the dance floor, ass up, there you go. Shake that ass just like a pro. Let a player see your face down on the dance floor. Ass up, there you go. Shake until your back is so. Let a player see your face down on the dance floor. Ass up, there you go. Shake that ass a little more. Let a player see your face down on the dance floor. Ass up, all you need, shaking it just like a pro. Step into a party, hot body, standing wall to wall. Some are smiling wide, but deep inside they want you standing tall. Sometimes you have to get up in their jaw to make them get it out. Give a bro more than she can take just to make a fall. Head over heels, doing whatever to pay the bills. In your drawers, they're thick and tips on the stage, giving thrills to them niggas in the clubs. Riding through, spinning cash, slow the scatters, getting down, face down on the dance floor. Let a player see you face down on the dance floor. Ass up on your knees, shake that ass just like a pro. Let a player see you face down on the dance floor. Ass up, there you go, shake that ass a little more. Let a player see you face down on the dance floor. Ass up on your knees, shaking to your back and so. Let a player see you face down on the dance floor. Ass up on your knees, shake that ass just like a pro. Fall up in the club, any club or a hot spot. Some heartbreaking ass shaking 24 around the clock. Whether it's a titty club or a club to get you fucked, they'll shake that ass for the cash if you cough it up. Place a dollar on the blow, watch how far a hoe would go. Brainwash out where them dollars in, buy a half a hoe. Shaking bout to break her back and might just show your piece of cat. Or let your Jimmy nudge it just to make you want a piece of that. Fall up in the buckets club, niggas gonna toss it up. A hoe's gonna shake that ass anytime they get a chance. Cause watch them walk it like a dog when that Mr. N come on. Juvie have them backing up their ass all night and long. Looking at her hips as you rub her with your fingertips. But you don't wanna hit her, all you wanna do is see her strip. Tighter clothes on tighter hoes, shaking fast, shaking slow. Shake that ass half you wanna shake it if you are a pro. Liz, I gotta let you know it's whole steps, so ain't no steps. And if you just don't know how to twerk it, then come get some help. And when your gal make it home late night and her back is so, you best believe that she was face down on the dance floor. Let a player see you face down on the dance floor. Ass up on your knees, shake that ass just like a pro. Let a player see your face down on the dance floor. Ass up on your knees, shake until your back is so. Let a player see your face down on the dance floor. Ass up, there you go, shake that ass a little more. Let a player see your face down on the dance floor. Ass up on your knees, shake until your back is so. Let a player see your face down on the dance floor. Ass up on your knees, shaking it just like a pro. Let a player see your face down on the
of the mo. Let a player see you face down on the dance floor. Hands up, there you go. Shake it till your back is sore. Let a player see you face down on the dance floor. Hands up, there you go. Shaking it just like a pro.